And if not, then we might need to figure out something different. Amen. Ain't no sense in both of us going through life miserable. Is everybody all right? Matthew chapter number 18. And Matthew chapter number 18. When I go on vacation and get away from folks, it's like the Lord just lets me know where my deficiencies are. I need somebody to help me. I've become more aware of it. I'm not going to tell you that I've always been this way, but I've become more aware of it as I get older and as I have matured in my spiritual walk with the Lord. But it's not so much how I am when I'm at church that worries me. It's how I am when I'm not at church. And when I'm not in that influence or in the middle of it, what is my thoughts? What am I thinking about? And so anyhow, the Lord always deals with me when I come back off vacation. I don't know why. It seems like I might have even last year preached on this same topic or this same subject when I got back from vacation. This lets you know that God's still working on me. Somebody help me. I'm not sure that I preached that to y'all. I just remember last year, hearing a preacher preach last year while I was on vacation. I was dealing with something and I was listening to a preacher preach on the subject of, everybody ready? Forgiveness. Have you ever been somewhere where you should have been in the moment and you should have been enjoying yourself, but you was thinking about something that took place sometime in the past? I know I ain't the only one. Y'all looking at me like I'm crazy, but I know I ain't the only one. I know I ain't the only one that finds themselves in situations where they should be engaged with everybody else and everybody around them. They should be thankful for the time that they're getting to spend with their family and with their loved ones or whatever. But every time in a conversation, they go back to something, a wrong that somebody done to them. And it's all brought back up again. Y'all, come on, y'all help me now. You ever been there? I mean, you should be in the moment. You should be enjoying yourself. Should be having a good time. But all of a sudden, something said, you see something, you hear something, and all of a sudden, you're taken back to a place. You're taken back to a time that you wish it never happened. You're taken back to a place. You're taken back to a time where somebody done something that hurt you and you just can't get over it. You've tried to get over it. It ain't like you hadn't made an attempt to get over it. It ain't like you didn't come to the altar once and tried to ask God, just take it from me. And how many of y'all has ever done that? How many has come to the altar and said, God, I want you to take this from me, and walked away from the altar and said, whew, I feel so much better. I'm thankful that I got that off my chest. And then you wake up the next morning and say, what is that on my chest? Well, what's that on my chest? And you come back the next week and you say, God, please take this burden from me. God, please take this away from me. Lord, that I never have to deal with this again. And you get up from the altar and say, woo, it sure does feel good. Man, praise God. Hallelujah. Wake up the next day and say, what's on my back? Come on, y'all. Man, I don't know what it is, but we are not very quick to forgive. Come on, help me out. We are not very quick to forgive. I did a devotion while we were on vacation. I sent out a devotion. I did one, and I did it on drama. That's what I put at the top of it, drama. And I talked about how we just live for drama and everything else. I think it was Wednesday morning. No, it was Thursday morning. It was a Thursday morning. I put it out Thursday morning. It was on drama. And so anyhow, we get up Thursday morning and we sit around the house and there at the beach, and we're sitting around the house waiting for the weather to clear and waiting for us to get all clear to go out there and go lobster diving. And the wind's blowing about 16 miles an hour. So as you can imagine, we're about getting out there on open water and something like that. And the boats, we basically were in flat boats. And anyhow, we got out there and somebody said, hey, come on. So we go out there. Is everybody all right? I mean, we take a boat ride 45 minutes out there in the open water, and we're sitting out there on open water, no drama. Me and Brother Brian and Stacy went diving. We're down there and we are loading up the bags with lobster. Are y'all hearing me? All of a sudden, boosh, some dude comes swimming down to us. He's going, mmm. I have a problem with English. I surely don't understand underwater. Mm-mm-mm. I'm in scuba gear. He's not. He's not scuba diving. He's free diving, and he's in his little jumpsuit. Looks like a leotard. That's what somebody called it. He's down there, and he's just a whatever. I mean, I think he even hit me. Is everybody all right? He goes back up to the top. We don't see him no more. We're loading up. I mean, there's lobster everywhere. It's like we are in heaven. We're just here, lobster for you, lobster for me. I mean, we're having some fun. Up there on the top, he's cussing out everybody in our boat. Is everybody all right? I went all the way down there to get away from drama. You would think out on the open water, there would be no drama. We have a dive flag that says you have to stay 300 feet away from us. And yet we still found drama in the middle. Is everybody all right? Because it's just who we are. I mean, this guy was mad because he dove on top of us. And we beat him to all the lobster. Hey, listen to me. I guarantee you there's a social media post out there right now about three divers that was down there on his spot. Is everybody all right? Why? Because me and you, we have to have a hard time dealing with people. When expectations, when what we expect don't go the right way all of a sudden, and then we have a hard time forgiving them. That guy's still mad at me, and I'm laughing at him. Because he's probably got a $700-$800 boat payment, a $700-$800 car payment. He probably got $700, $800 worth of gas that he went down there, and he ain't got no lobster. But we all struggle with this unforgiveness. And I'm kidding, I forgave him. I don't even know what he looks like. But as I looked at a passage of scripture, God was dealing with me in Matthew chapter number 18, verse number 21. I'll begin reading. The Bible says, "Then came Peter to him and said, Lord, how oft shall my brother sin against me and I forgive him? Till seven times?" Now, the teaching this time, they taught that you were only to forgive two to three times. So Peter... He had more than doubled it. He thought, hey, everybody, if Peter could have, he would have went like this. Seven times? I'm sure I'm being a Christian. How many times am I supposed to forgive my brother if he sins against me? Just seven times instead of the two to three times? Verse number 22. And Jesus saith unto him, I say not unto thee until seven times. But until 70 times 7. 490 times you're to forgive your brother if he trespasses against you. Is everybody all right? I'm just going to go ahead and tell y'all now, I would lose count. But I think what Jesus was trying to get across was that we continuously forgive. Y'all don't get quiet on me. I know this is a rough one. I know this is a rough one. We ain't going to be shouting. We ain't going to be happy. A matter of fact, this sermon wasn't designed to make us go out of here feeling like we're the best people in the world. This was one of those things that God just kicked me right in the teeth. Have y'all ever had Jesus do that to y'all? He's love. He is. But man, he'll gut punch you in a heartbeat. I need somebody to help me. He got me. He says this. Jesus answered him in verse number 3 with a parable. He says, therefore is the kingdom of heaven likened unto a certain king which would take account of his servants. And when he had begun to reckon, one was brought unto him which owed him 10,000 talents. Man, I have seen all kind of numbers given as to how much this was. But the best number that I could come up with from what I have read is about $12 million. But one commentator said it could have been as much as $1 billion. I don't know, but how about this? It was a lot. Can we just say that? Is that fair? He says, verse number 25, but for as much as he had not to pay, the Lord commanded him to be sold and his wife and children and all that he had and payment to be made. This concept that's not too familiar with people around here anymore. But when you borrow, you pay it back. And in this case, he couldn't. And so the king, or the Lord here, as he is called in this verse, he demanded that he be sold into slavery and his wife and children. And that they sell everything that the man had to where he had absolutely nothing left. And whatever could be made in a payment. Verse 26, and the servant therefore fell down and worshipped him. This word worship right here doesn't mean that he worshipped him in the sense of us worshiping God, but he begged and pleaded with him is what this means. He fell down and begged of him, saying, Lord, have patience with me. How many of you have ever asked God that? Lord, have patience with me, and I will pay thee all. Everybody look at me. He couldn't. Everybody look up here. He couldn't pay it back. But he begged the Lord, the king here, and he begged him to have patience with him. And he said, if you'll just give me some more time, I'll pay back everything that I owe you. Look at the next verse. In verse number 27, the Bible says, then the Lord of that servant was moved with compassion and loosed him and forgave him the debt. Woo! If I owe any of y'all money, y'all need to treat me as this. Is everybody all right? Come on, y'all. I need somebody to help me right here. It's a feel-good story. Come on. Man, awesome. I mean, it ain't awesome if he owes you the money. But look, from our point of view, from our perspective looking on this story, that's awesome, man. That somebody would have such compassion that they would forgive the debt of another individual who owed them a massive amount of money. And they would just say, you're free to go. Ain't that good? Come on, y'all, help me. But that's not the end of the story. Verse number 28, the Bible says, but the same servant, the one that was forgiven all of that, he went out and found one of his fellow servants, which owed him 100 pence. Everybody look here. Best number I could come up with on this one, $17. I mean, everybody read behind and we looked at, they came up with a number of, this would have amounted to $17. The first one, the lowest number I come up with was 12 million, all the way up to a billion. This one, 100 pence, was $17. Just so you and I have a grasp of what's going on. And so he laid hands on him and took him by the throat. This was the guy that owed 12 million and was forgiven of his debt. Going to somebody else that owed $17 and getting so mad that he couldn't pay back 17 bucks after he was just forgiven for 12 million. That he took the man by the throat, laid hands on him, and he took the man by the throat, saying, pay me what or that thou owest. rain. We should have stopped at verse 27. Because this ain't a feel-good story no more. And his fellow servant fell down at his feet and besought him, saying, have patience with me, and I will pay thee all. Go to verse 26. We're in verse 29. That was a fellow servant. Let's go to verse 26. The servant therefore fell down and worshiped him, saying, Lord, say it with me, y'all. Patience with me, and I will pay thee all. That was the plea of the one that owed 12 million. Let's go back to 29. This is the plea of the man that owed $17. Say it with me. Have patience with me, and I will pay thee the same exact prayer. Is everybody with me? The same exact plea. One, Saint said the same thing and was forgiven $12 million. The other one says it. Let's see what happens. Verse number 30, and he would not, but went and cast him into prison till he should pay the debt. Look at me. That ain't too smart. If he's in prison, he ain't be able to pay the debt. I watch enough of them movies where people get shot. Is everybody with me? And they come up and they say, hey, you got a motive for murder because he owed you money. And they always say this, why would I want him dead if he owes me money? Right? Same principle. Okay. Verse number 31. So when his fellow, that means the people around him. This guy was given 12 million because the king had compassion, but yet he wouldn't forgive $17. But it was those that are around him that seen how he acted. That was his fellow servant. So when his fellow servants saw what was done, they were very sorry and came and told unto their Lord all that was done. Things change. Verse number 32. Then his Lord, after that he called him, said unto him, O thou wicked servant, I forgave thee all that debt, because thou desirest me. Verse number 33. Shouldest not thou also have had compassion on thy fellow servant, even as I had pity on thee? Now, I don't think I have to outline this, but I did. I think that we're all smart enough in this building to piece together what's being instructed here. But the fact of the matter is that so many of us have a problem with it, myself included, yourself included. And so, just for a moment, I will outline this chapter or this parable. I want you to notice the debt that was incurred. The debt incurred. When you look at the one servant, the Bible says that he owed a great many talents. We figured it up to be somewhere around $12 million. The other one owed a price of just $17. When we look at this, let's not look at it in relationship to money, but let's look at it in relationship to sin, or let's say it this way, a transgression. One is being forgiven of many transgressions, and one that is being forgiven of many transgressions, y'all help me, is withdrawing forgiveness, withholding forgiveness from one that just had a few. See, when we look at it that way, no longer about money, and that's where a lot of our minds go to, but this is not what Jesus was going to. What Jesus was trying to point out is that we all have a debt. And if you and I are you saved in the building? Raise your hand. If you're saved in the building and you've been forgiven a great debt, there was a great debt that you owed. There was a lot of sin. You can call it whatever you want. You can excuse it however you want to, but every one of us is guilty of a lot of sin. I'm going to need some. Everybody going to get loud right here or we ain't going any further. We'll be here till 3 o'clock, all right? Every one of us is guilty of a lot of sin. Amen. Amen. Every single one of us, the Bible says, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. The Bible says there is none righteous. You know, the Bible even tells us that there is none that seeketh to do good. We say, well, they're a good person. No, they're not. Not according to the Bible. They're not a good person. Why? Because nobody seeks to do good. We talked about it this morning. Paul said, I have spent and I have been spent. He says, I've given my all to thee. Paul said, I've done it for your edifying. And I asked everybody, I said, is everything that you do for the edifying of others? Oh. If we were honest with ourselves, we'd say, most of what we do is for our own edification. Edification means building up. We're building up ourselves, not building up others. Somebody help me now. Y'all stay with me. So we've all transgressed. Would you agree? But Jesus has forgiven us a great debt. A matter of fact, a great debt that demanded the wrath of God be poured out upon our life. But Jesus took our place on the cross and died for you and I and our transgressions. The Bible said, he that knew no sin became sin. He took my sin, every sin. Everybody say this, every sin. Every sin that you've ever committed, Jesus took it to the cross. Every sin you're living in right now, look at me, Jesus took it to the cross. Every sin that you will commit in the future, look at me, Jesus took it to the cross. And he died for that sin. Oh, I need somebody to help me. He forgave you and he forgave me. Right? Y'all help me, right? There was a debt we incurred. It was a demand, and that demand is still here today. You have to pay that debt. The Bible says this, for the wages of sin. The wages means this, it means the payment. The wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. So if you're sitting in here this morning and you're not saved, there's never been a time where Jesus Christ has saved you. He's become your personal Savior. There's never been a time that you have trusted in Him and put your faith and trust in Him. Then today you owe. And that debt will be demanded of you. One day you'll stand before God and you will give an account for your life. And the Bible says in Revelation that those that were not found written in the Lamb's Book of Life, they were cast into the lake of fire. There's coming a day where we will give an account. There's coming a day that we will be held accountable for ourselves before God. But yet God has given us a gift, and that gift is eternal life through Jesus Christ, His Son, who came and died for you and I, and says, come unto me, all ye that are heavy laden. And I will give you rest. An invitation to come to Him. But if you reject it, there's a debt, there's a price, there's a demand that's insisted of you. What does that mean, preacher? That means that the wrath of God will be poured out on you. Jesus is your substitute. If you reject the substitute, then the wrath of God will be poured out on you. I'm going to go over here and say it. I don't expect you to get loud and get excited about it, but I want you to understand it. God gave His Son for you. If you reject that, then the same wrath that was poured out on Jesus Christ will be poured out on you. But God says, I don't want you to go through that wrath, and so I offer my Son to take that wrath on your behalf. There's a demand that's insisted. We see it in Scripture. We see it with the Lord. We see it with the fellow or the servant. We see a declaration imparted, and this is how most people live today. And Lord, be patient with me and I'll pay it all back. This is what we're really saying. God, I'm going to be good. Come on, y'all stay with me. God, I'm going to be good. I promise. I'm going to turn over a new leaf. You just wait, God. You give me till January the 1st and I'm going to turn over a new leaf. And Lord, I promise you I'm going to live my life differently. And it lasts till, come on, y'all help me. It lasts till January the 13th. And then that old leaf, something. Why? Because it's impossible. The Bible says this about our goods. Or us doing good. It says all of our righteousnesses are as filthy rags. In other words, there's nothing that you and I can do. There's no good that we can do that would allow us to earn eternal life. But I want you to notice a decision that was issued. A decision that was issued. On the part of the Lord, the Bible says he had compassion on the man that pleaded with him and said, forgive me, give me time, be patient with me. He had compassion on him, even though he couldn't pay the debt. It was impossible for him to pay the debt. He had compassion on him and he loosed him. He let him go and forgave him of the debt. Everybody look at me. If you raised your hand a minute ago and said you were saved, that's exactly what God did for you. There was a debt that you owed, a debt that was too great for you to pay, a debt that was impossible for you to pay. So God had compassion on you and forgave you that debt. Is everybody all right? You had 12 million transgressions against you. And he forgave you. But there was another decision that was issued, and that was by the person that was forgiven so much. They looked on another that owed them just 17 and said, nah, you're going to pay me what you owe me. Is everybody all right? Do you know that's how you and I look at somebody when they've done us wrong? When you and I do not forgive them, when you and I to forgive them, we look at that individual and we say, though you only owe me $17 and though I have been forgiven of $12 million, you are going to pay. Say, preacher, but you don't know how bad they done me. Are we really, we want to compare how bad you done God? The comparison isn't between us. The comparison and the example that you and I are given is how God forgave us. Let me ask you this. Did God ever do you wrong? Come on, y'all, help me. Has God ever done you wrong? No. So have you done God wrong? Did he deserve you doing him wrong? Did he let you go? Did he loose you? Did he have compassion on you? Did he forgive you of your sins? I need somebody to help me. If you're forgiven in here, somebody shout. Amen. I've been forgiven. That's right. I've been forgiven. I need somebody. Y'all gonna have to help me. I've been forgiven. Said preacher, but what about what you did when you, it's gone. Matter of fact, there's scripture in the Bible that says, as far as the east is from the west, so far as I removed your transgression. The Bible says that it is I that blotteth out sin and iniquity. That talking about God. He says, I remember your sins no more. He said, the blood of Jesus Christ cleanses us from how much sin? I need y'all to help me. So with all that God has forgiven you, why is it so hard for us to forgive somebody else? Preacher, you don't know what they've done to me. I don't care what they've done to you. Because they have not been as bad to you as you were to God. I hope you see this. I hope you ain't trying. Let's not try to justify ourselves and why we done what we done. And that I didn't know any better. And ain't none of that. The fact of the matter is we transgressed God's law and we have done it. How about this? You and I have sinned more against God since we've been saved than we have when we got saved. And yet, the Bible says if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. I got to wrap it up. Is y'all ready? Because I really don't know where I want to be. The fact is, we could teach forgiveness from here until 9 o'clock tonight and wouldn't exhaust all the scriptures about forgiveness. I want you to think about this. God holds back His anger a long time until He forgives us. He bears with us a long time, though we sorely provoke Him. I want you to think about this. God reaches out to bad people to woo them to Himself and attempts reconciliation with bad people. God always makes the first move in forgiveness, trying to reconcile even though the guilty party is uninterested in forgiveness. God forgives our sin knowing that we'll do it again. Knowing that we'll do it again. Knowing that we'll do it the same way that we did it. Come on, y'all. How many of you ever asked God to forgive you for something and then you turned around and did it again? God's forgiveness is so complete that he grants adoption to those former offenders. God in His forgiveness bore all the penalty of the wrong we did against Him. He was innocent, yet He took it all upon Himself. Are y'all hearing me? This is God's forgiveness. God keeps reaching out for reconciliation, even though man keeps rejecting. This is the story of my life. I grew up in and around church, running around church, everything else, and rejecting God every minute of every day, and yet God kept pursuing me. God doesn't require a probationary period before He forgives us. Well, I'll forgive you as long as you live right for the next 3 years. Is everybody all right? God's forgiveness offers complete restoration. This is one that I have problems with. It offers complete restoration and honor. He loves, adopts, honors, and associates with those who have wronged Him. God puts His trust in us and invites us to work as a co-laborer even though we have wronged Him. Stay with me. Last one, I'm done. The discipline intended. If God would forgive us for so much, who are we to withhold forgiveness from any amongst us? Now, when we withhold forgiveness from those around us, it is apparent to those around us. Have you ever been in a conversation, and I feel like my friends would have to say yes about me, where we get in a conversation and I end up mentioning a name that had nothing to do with the conversation? Because I can't let go. Y'all help me. Come on. I know y'all wanted a perfect preacher, but he preaches down the road. He does. I'm not perfect at all. I'm not. I struggle with it just as bad as anybody else. Somebody wrongs me. I come on, y'all. We used to settle these things. We punch somebody in the mouth. I got saved and God won't let me do that. What are you to do? I had to struggle. I had to fight with it mentally. Battle with it. And every time that I'm reminded that I've withheld forgiveness, Ms. Jill, I have to look in the mirror and say, what God did that to you? It aggravates me. I get away from the church and it's supposed to be my time. I'm supposed to get some relaxation. I'm supposed to get free of some things and just have a good time. And yet when I harbor bitterness and when I harbor unforgiveness, I take that junk on vacation with me. And I find myself thinking about things that I ain't got no business. I didn't take him on vacation with me. I didn't invite him on vacation. I didn't pack for him. I ain't feeding him. I need somebody to help me. I'm not clothing him, giving him a, but I do. So this morning, I know you come to church. It's not a Joel Osteen message. This is one where the rubber meets the road. This is one of them messages that I really like to preach on a Sunday night or a Wednesday night, but I knew y'all wasn't going to come, so I went ahead and done it on Sunday morning. Because we all need it. If I need it, come on, I need somebody to help me. You need it. If I need it, you just as bad. Look at me. You just as bad as I am. And if I need it, I believe we all do. Dalton's going to that piano and you're coming to this altar. Everybody in this building is coming to this altar. You know why? Because at some point, invite them to come. You don't need them to come. You don't need them in your life. And you have yet to let it go. You are fighting it. And today, we're going to come down to this altar and we're going to start. I ain't going to say it's going to be glorious and we'll never meet up with them again and we'll never see them again. But we're going to do the best we can to come down here and lay it at the altar. Say, God, just take it. Not forgive them because they deserved it. I had a passage of scripture I wanted to read to you. But I'll just read a couple of verses. It says, let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice. Listen, and be ye kind one to another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another. Listen, even as God, for Christ's sake, hath forgiven you. Even as God, for Christ's sake, hath forgiven you. This morning, if you don't know Christ as your personal Savior, I want everybody to bow your heads with me. If you don't know Christ as your personal Savior, I want you to know there's forgiveness at the cross. I want you to know that there's forgiveness through Jesus Christ. I don't care what you've done. I don't care who you are. I don't care where you were last night. I don't care what your breath smells like this morning. I don't care what you got planned for this afternoon. I want you to know that there is forgiveness in the Lord Jesus Christ. His existence, He's here. The Bible says before the foundations of the world, it was ordained that He would come and die for you and I. Forgiveness is available to each one of us. But it is your choice. It is your decision. He has had compassion. And in His compassion, He sent His only begotten Son. But you can either receive Him this morning, or you can reject Him. And if you choose to reject Him, this, eventually, that debt will have to be paid. Either by you, or by you placing your faith and trust in Christ. This morning, if you don't know Jesus as your personal Savior, if you don't know today beyond a shadow of a doubt if you was to die, where you'd spend eternity, I want to offer you the same forgiveness that was given to me. If you're in this building, I do not know where I'd spend eternity if I was to die right now. I want you to do me a favor and I want you to look right up at me. Make eye contact with me. I'll not embarrass you or send anybody to you. Thank you. You can put your head down. Anybody else? Make eye contact with me and you can put your head down. I'm not going to embarrass you. It's not what I'm here to do. I'm not going to send anybody to you. I'm not going to run you down. This is between you and the Lord. If you died in that seat today, do you know where you'd spend eternity? You say, preacher, no. I want you to look right up at me and make eye contact. If you're in the balcony, I can't see you. Just put your hand up for me. Preacher, I don't know. Is there anybody like that? I see it. You can put your hand down. Anybody else? Preacher, I don't know. I see it. Thank you. I'm not going to embarrass you. I will not embarrass you. Thank you for being honest. There's three people in the building this morning. Is there somebody else that'd be honest? Preacher, I don't know. I'm going to do something for the three that looked up at me or raised their hand. I'm going to pray for you. I want to tell you this, my prayer ain't going to save you. I want you to know that beforehand. That salvation is a personal choice that has to be made by each one of us. I had to do it. My children had to do it. My wife had to do it. It's a personal choice. If I could, I'd do it for you, but I can't. But I am going to pray for you. Our Heavenly Father, Lord, as we, Lord, conclude service, as we end, Lord, I want to say thank you for your Son, Jesus Christ. I want to say thank you for the blood that was shed on Calvary, the wrath that was poured out on Him, the substitute that He became, Lord, so that I may go free. God, I want to say thank you, Lord, for forgiving me of my sin. Lord, I couldn't imagine having to carry around the burden of my sin, the weight of my sin. God, I there's no way I could stand before your wrath in my sin. So, God, I'm thankful for the substitute, God, that you've given us and your Son, Jesus Christ, who bore my sin, Lord, paid the penalty for my sin, Lord, that I may be loosed and live free. God, I pray for these individuals, Lord, that have looked up, the one that has raised their hand. Lord, each one of them, I know where they were. I know. I remember being in that spot. I remember September 28, 1997, on the second row of the church. I can remember, Lord, as I was faced with a decision to either receive you or reject you, I remember where they were. Where they are. So God, I pray right now, Lord, that you would give them the courage, Lord, to do as I have and many others in this building. Lord, to step out on faith and trust you with their eternity. With heads bowed and eyes closed, I am standing down on the floor right in front of the pulpit. If you looked up at me or you raised your hand, I want to help you. But it is your choice. So I'm asking you, my hand's out. Please. Get up out of your seat. Come to where I'm at and let me help you. I'll get somebody to take a Bible and show you how to be saved. And you can lay your head down on a pillow tonight. Listen to me. You can lay your head down on a pillow tonight knowing beyond a shadow of a doubt that if you died, you'd go to heaven. These things have I written unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God, that you may know that you have eternal life. 1 John chapter 5, verse number 13. Will you let me help you? If so, I want you to get up out of your seat. Walk down the aisle. Come to where I'm at. Let me help you. Won't you do it now? Our Heavenly Father, Lord, I love you. God, I'm thankful, Lord, for our services today. Lord, as we tackled the subject of forgiveness, we probably shouldn't have made a series of it, Lord, for the next 10 weeks. God, I need to hear it every day. I need to be reminded of it every day. Lord, forgive me. I confess to you that, Lord, I carry around too many things that I should have already let go. Lord, I find myself picking up things I have no business picking up when it comes to unforgiveness. Lord, I pray in Jesus' name, Lord, that you would constantly remind us, Lord, of how you have forgiven us. Lord, may we extend that to others.